America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Secretary Clinton, did you lie to them?
You know, look, I feel a great deal of sympathy for the families of the four brave Americans that we lost at Benghazi. And I certainly can't even imagine the grief that she has for losing her son. But she's wrong. She's absolutely wrong.
Well, this is Secretary of State Clinton during a town hall meeting. I guess actually was a debate with Jorge Ramos on CNN and Univision, and that she made this statement, and it's like, wow, you know, here you got Pat Smith.
She's calling her a liar, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it really is uncomfortable. And then on top of that, just last night, the Democratic presidential front runner committed her second gaffe in as many days on the campaign trail, claiming that the U.S. didn't lose, because this is a quote, didn't lose a single person in Libya during her time as Secretary of State. Wow, I mean, you know, is the stress of the campaign and everything gotten to her to where she's become delusional? I mean, how can you forget, you know, four people that were lost and, there's still a committee hearing that continues on regarding Benghazi.
Yeah, it's... like you said, that's a pretty big gaffe. That's a pretty, but it doesn't shock me that she'd do that.
I mean,
it's right into everything that she's ever done.
Well, you know, the thing is that's so interesting about politics is politicians say the most outrageous things, and then the media reports it. It depends on who's reporting it. You know, is it a gaffe? You know, this is, of course, in this particular case, being reported by Fox News. Excuse me. Is this a gaffe or? You know, is this something even more diabolical than that? I mean, has she convinced herself? Has she lied to herself so much that her conscience has been disconnected from reality that she really believes that nobody, I mean, in her heart of hearts, I mean, she's talking to you. How do you say that? I mean, you just have so much going through your mind that you cannot, you know, separate what you hope didn't happen versus what happened?
Yeah, I suppose when you've been lying for as long as she has, it just comes second nature. To say even the report that we talked about yesterday with her IT guy who was granted immunity to testify. Well, that's nothing. I can't wait to have the truth come out so that way America knows it's nothing. Well, they don't just grant immunity to people just because there's no wrongdoing there. They had to talk to the guy, and the guy had to feel like it was possible that he might be charged with a crime.
Exactly. Yeah, he's got to get out of jail card. So he knows that there is some potential there, and for him, he's probably breathing lighter on one hand. Number two is he's probably off the Christmas card list for the Clintons. What do you think?
I'm sure he is, but at the same time, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to be off that list. I'm not even on that list, so it's easy for me to say that, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess, and you know, here's somebody. I mean, it had been very difficult, but they knew sooner or later this would be an opportunity where somebody from the inside who knows this, who knows the nuances, could be able to speak to this issue. So I know many people are waiting to you know, hear the truth of the matter. You know, from this IT specialist that knows the ins and outs of her private server. The comments that Clinton, I want to just wrap this up so we hold this in context here. She said, now, is Libya perfect? It isn't, she said. After contrasting her approach toward Libya with the ongoing bloodshed and serious civil war, Clinton said Libya was a different kind of calculation and we didn't lose a single person. We didn't have a problem in supporting our European and Arab allies in working with NATO. Well, of course, the discussion will continue. Thank you for joining in. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Hey, sometimes you got to stop for just a moment, huh? It's kind of like my grandmother used to say. She'd always ask, "Donde vas?" You know, where are you going? Sometimes I wonder if we really know where we're going and the trajectory that this country is on, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it is good to pause and consider the direction in which we're heading. Just a passing thought is all I got to say, because it's wisdom from my grandmother. I may have to write a book on that, Scott. You know, the different things that she used to say to us. And usually there were bits of wisdom before, as I said, you know, if we didn't pay real close attention, that a chancla, a house slipper, would come flying over at us, just to make sure that we got her point. You know what I'm talking about?
The dreaded house slipper. I'm right there with you.
The favorite house slipper, I'm telling you. You know, this was back in the days when grandmothers could throw house slippers. And she was pretty lethal with that thing. And it's probably more embarrassing than anything else when it hits you in the head. And she never missed. It was just uncanny, her ability. Well, this is Bill Martinez. We're back with you. And our next guest, Stephen Meyer, asked the question, is your child being taught the full story on evolution? And, Stephen, I will say, when you say the full story, you spelled it F-U-L-L, and I spelled it F-O-O-L on evolution. So I don't know. Of course, Stephen is a leading scientist, and we're talking about this landmark court decision 10 years after the fact. Stephen Meyer, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Hey, thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, great to talk about this deal. You know, when I first wrote that out, you know, in terms of full story on evolution, we really, you know, some of it is kind of galling, you know, because you wonder, you go, wait a minute, what happened to the truth? Why can't we pursue the truth of the matter?
Well, in science itself, there's kind of a self-imposed limit that a lot of scientists think they have to obey, and it's a limit that says if you're going to be a scientist, you got to explain everything by reference to purely materialistic causes. And that sounds sensible because scientists are studying the material world, the natural world, but the problem is there are some things that we know don't arise with just undirected material processes, and one of those things is information. And one of the extraordinary discoveries of the second half of the 20th century in biology is that information is running the show inside every living cell, that it's that cells are repositories of information in the form of the code that's stored in the DNA molecules. Mm-hmm. And we know from experience that information always arises from an intelligent source, not just undirected processes. If you walk into the Rosetta or into the British Museum and see the Rosetta Stone and the inscriptions on that piece of rock, you realize a scribe played a role, an intelligent agent. Information is a mind product. So if you limit yourself, scientists impose this limit, no intelligent causes to be considered, well, then you're not going to see what really caused the information inside life.
Exactly. And the thing is that's disturbing about this, you know, at least when I was raised, that science was such a time-honored and respected, you know, profession. And for it to reduce itself to ideology is a conflict in and of itself, isn't it?
Well, that's right. In science, we want the biggest obligation we have is to follow the evidence wherever it leads to the most natural, logical conclusion, the conclusions that is most consistent with our knowledge of cause and effect, how the world actually works. So we don't want an ideological rule to determine what the right answer is going to be from the outset. But that's, in effect, what happens when you're talking about especially the origin of life. There are two basic possibilities when you're talking about how life got here. Either it arose through unguided, undirected processes of some kind, or an intelligent agent or designing mind played a role. If you decide from the outset that you're not going to consider this second option, well, then the first one will win by default. But that's not a good scientific approach in the sense of what I think the biggest obligation the scientist has is to follow the evidence to where it leads. Follow, let the evidence dictate the conclusion, not a presupposition.
Well, Stephen, you wrote about Darwin and Darwinism in your your celebrated book, Darwin's Doubt. And you know, the thing is, I've maintained that since then, you know, some people say it was about 50, you know, in the last 50 years, the progressive mind thought and the move more and more to secularism has risen. But I say that that was the door opener back when Darwin came up with his theory, and he said it was a theory, and he even posited that there were some things that could disprove this and just make it fall apart. But it was, there was such a movement and a thought in the culture that wanted God out of the picture, no matter what. They were going to check in their brains, leave it at the door in order to discount God and get God out of any public square discussion. And here we are since you know, the mid 19th century, here going into the 21st century, and we've been carrying this anchor with us, and we just keep getting bogged down more and more, and we get seemingly further away from the truth.
Well, there's a really interesting connection between Darwinism and progressivism as a political philosophy. The jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes believed that law was something that did not have a fixed anchor in a transcendent moral order, but rather, since all organisms evolve and human beings evolve, law itself evolves. And so the job of the court was to continue to update the law to make it socially relevant without there being a fixed anchor. And it was really the source of the idea that that the justices shouldn't just be interpreting the law as written by the framers of the Constitution, who had attempted to root the positive law, as it's called, in a transcendent moral order. Instead, the law is evolving like everything else. So progressivism as a political philosophy actually draws heavily on the Darwinian thought form.
And this all influenced the Dover decision, right?
Well, I suppose it's, I'm not sure if we can draw one-to-one in that case, but this Dover decision in 2005 was it was a rather strange episode, actually. You had a small school board that was asking teachers to read a statement about the theory of intelligent design to let kids know that there was a book about it in the school library. Seemingly innocuous, although we opposed the idea of trying to mandate tell teachers what they had to teach. That seemed like a bad idea. And we were also concerned about our theory, the theory that we represent, being drug into a kind of a public policy circus like that. In any case, a suit was filed to stop this from happening. The judge ruled it unconstitutional and said that and invoked this rule of science that I was talking about before, this alleged rule of science, that science has to be completely materialistic or else it's not scientific. And so you had a federal judge actually trying to define what science is from the bench, if you will. It was a kind of
a non-scientist interjecting his rule on science.
Exactly.
Boy,
trying
I'll to
tell settle you. A long-standing debate.
Amazing. Well, we're going to further that discussion on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. Stephen Meyer is with us. This is Bill Martinez live, 14 minutes after the top of the hour.
As Flint residents continue to face lead contamination in their drinking water, we are forced to think about what may be on our own. While it may appear clean, tap water could contain contaminants such as lead. The makers of Pure Water Filtration Systems have commissioned a study by Environmental Health and Engineering to explore the impact of our nation's aging infrastructure on drinking water. According to Dr. Ted Myatt, a microbiologist with EH&E,
it's important to think about the journey your water takes from source to glass. Once it leaves the water treatment facility, it may be recontaminated with elements like lead, mercury, or pesticides, which can't be seen or tasted. The best defense is to use a certified faucet mount water filter.
These systems are easy, affordable, and ensure your water is safe. Pure faucet water filters are NSF certified to remove over 70 contaminants, including 99.9% of lead at levels up to 150 parts per billion. Filters last up to 100 gallons of water and should be replaced when the filter light indicator flashes red. For more information, visit pure.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter radio. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to the best of Bill Martinez live.
Thanks, God Almighty. We are free at last.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Stephen Meyer is with us. The question before us is your child being taught the full story on evolution? What happened to the truth? Before we went to break, we were talking about the Dover decision and its 10-year anniversary and the effect that it has on the debate today, Stephen. Pick it up from where we left off, if you would, please.
Yeah, we had this kind of strange outcome where a federal judge decided that he could define science and therefore, with that definition, preclude any consideration of the evidence that many scientists see of design in biology. And in the wake of that, the proponents of kind of the Darwin-only approach to science education did a lot of taunting, saying, you know, it's over after Dover. The debate about intelligent design is over after this court decision. But federal judges absolutely do not settle important scientific and philosophical issues. And 10 years on, the debate is anything but over, and the movement of scientists, the network of scientists who support intelligent design is growing. There's been a series of really important books and scientific articles, nearly 90 peer-reviewed scientific publications since the early 2000s. At the time in the Dover case, there was just one. The judge claimed there had been none, but it's a growing network of scientists with a really productive research agenda, and so it's pretty hard for a judge to settle an issue like that. And it's been kind of an exciting 10 years, actually, for those who are involved in it.
Well, Stephen, it's given an opportunity for people of courage and those that believe in the truth to stand up in the face against all odds. I mean, you talk about peer review and peer pressure. You know, as you and I were talking off the air here just a moment ago, is that, look at it, if you don't, you know, go along to get along and buy into this deception, then you're not invited to the reindeer games. And in many cases, we're hearing where you get, you know, professors that are, you know, losing their positions at universities because
you get openly disinvited. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was a part of a really odd experience or story 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago now. It was at the Smithsonian Institution. I wasn't at the institution. I submitted an article to a journal that they published called the Proceedings of the Proceedings of the Biological Society of Washington. And the editor of the journal sent the article out for peer review. It was an argument for intelligent design based on the huge infusion of biological information that's necessary to build the first forms of animal life, an event in the history of life known as the Cambrian Explosion. I subsequently wrote a whole book on the topic called Darwin's Doubt. But in 2004, when I submitted this, and the article eventually made it through the peer review process, there were some critiques that I addressed along the way, but eventually satisfied the editor and the reviewers. Once it was published, there was just a huge furor at the museum. They went after the editor and tried to punish him for having allowed an article with this point of view to be published. They took away his office, his access to samples, and his keys, transferred him out of his research group and into an office right by the museum administrator so they could keep an eye on him. Eventually, he was demoted, and there were calls made from people at the museum trying to get him fired at his other scientific appointment at the National Institutes of Health. Took a senator intervening to save his job, and at one point he was told not to come into a meeting about the journal's future because tempers were running so high that the president of the society couldn't guarantee his personal safety. It was just absolutely insane, really, when you think this is a scientific organization, but tempers were running very high, and he was really aggressively persecuted, not for himself advocating this position, but for having allowed it to make it into print. And the way it was justified was, again, by reference to this ironclad rule of method that says that if you're going to be a scientist, you can't consider the possibility of a non-materialistic cause, a designing agent, being part of the story. So that is, you know, reflective of the mindset of big sections of the scientific community, and that makes it very hard for scientists to actually explore this perspective when they think they're seeing evidence for design in nature.
Yeah, how do you ignore it when it's right in your face? I mean, you know, this whole debate about intelligent design and creationism, Stephen, some people would feel that they're one and the same. What do you say?
Well, there's a clear difference in two respects. First, the theory of intelligent design is not based on the biblical text. It's not a interpretation or a deduction from the Genesis story. Mm-hmm. Rather, it's an inference from the evidence of biology and physics and cosmology. For example, the evidence I was talking about a minute ago of the digital code that's stored in the DNA molecule, or the exquisite miniature machines that scientists are discovering inside cells, Exactly. Or in physics, the fine-tuning of the laws and constants of physics that make life possible. There's a whole range of different evidences that have led scientists to consider this. Mm-hmm. So it's an evidence-based inference rather than a scripturally-based interpretation. And then secondly, the creationism has typically been defined as a theory that affirms that the Earth is very young. And intelligent design is not concerned with that issue. It's an age-neutral theory. It's trying to determine whether life is the product of designing intelligence, or it's merely life merely bears the illusion or appearance of design, as the Darwinists say. So it's, in fact, when we framed the theory of intelligent design, it was in opposition to this claim by leading Darwinists who say that life looks designed, but it's not really designed because an undirected, unguided process produced that appearance or illusion. And we were challenging that concept of apparent design with a concept of real design, or that is to say, intelligent design.
Yeah, but even based on their own outline, how does that fit their proposition?
Well, it is striking that the leading biologists have long acknowledged that life at least appears designed. Richard Dawkins, the mm-hmm. foremost popularizer of Darwinian theory, says on the first page of his famous book, The Blind Watchmaker, that biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose, where appearance for him is the key word. It's just an illusion. But he has to acknowledge things look designed. You've
right.
got code, you've got machines, you've got the beautiful structure of the coiled nautilus, or the design of the eye, or the plumbing and electrical system of the vertebrate heart. I mean, there's so many things in life that display a kind of integrated complexity that does raise at least a pardonable curiosity about whether or not a mind might have played a role in the origin of these systems.
And it's kind of amazing what is the driving force of this thought. And basically, as I see it, in my own just simple way, Stephen, it's just for them to negate, you know, a God of the universe.
Well, that may be, and it may, you know, on the other side of the argument, the defenders of Darwinism and those who criticize the idea of intelligent design say that the people who are advocating intelligent design are doing so because they want there to be a God, and they want the comfort that comes with that. Mm-hmm. In a sense, that sort of argument's at a stalemate. What we're trying to do is not guess as to people's motives on either side, but rather to get down to the foundational evidence and say, what can we tell about the origin of life mm-hmm. from the evidence and from what we know about the cause and effect structure of the world? And that was a key a principle of reasoning that Darwin himself espoused. He called it his vera causa principle, true cause principle. He said, if you're trying to reconstruct what happened in the remote past, you should be looking for a cause which is known to produce the effects in question. And we just simply ask, well, what cause do we know of from our uniform and repeated experience, the basis of all scientific reasoning, that's capable of generating digital information? And we argue there's only one, and that cause is intelligence or mind. That's what we know from experience. And so the inference to intelligent design is an experience-based scientific conclusion, not a religiously deduced one, though it does clearly have implications that are friendly to religious belief.
Exactly. Well, Stephen Meyer has been with us. Stephen, thank you so much for the discussion, for your insight and update. This is a very significant thing when we consider that our children are being taught, are they being taught the full story of evolution? This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuvina, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuvina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuvina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. go to ilikethewayilook.com. ilikethewayilook.com.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Good heads, we can arrange a meeting.
Your opinion really does matter.
A new age has begun.
Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Welcome back, America, as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads us. Truth is important, as we were talking earlier with Stephen Meyer. You know, the thing is about the truth, you know when you have it, it's kind of settled in your brain. There is peace of mind. And when you're not dealing with the truth of the matter, it just keeps gnawing at you until, you know, you kind of get down to the, you know, to the real truth and the understanding of reality that is consistent with our belief system. And therein lies the challenge today, because our world has been turned upside down and we're, you know, told to believe things that we know. we just kind of know that we know that, you know, they're trying to turn us into a bunch of mushrooms, and you know what goes along with that. Hey, our next guest is Dr. Joshua Straub. Dr. Straub is an author, speaker, family advocate. He's trained thousands of professionals in critical incident stress management. And the topic is how emotional safety is the key to raising kids who live, love, and lead well. Dr. Straub, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to have you on to deal with this thing. I think, you know, a lot of people are wondering, you know, just how key emotional, when you say emotional safety, boy, I'll tell you, that goes on like a humongous neon light here. When I saw that, I said, wow, this is a, you know, this is an interesting perspective, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that I focused in on emotional safety in particular is because when we started having kids, we realized, as you're talking about truth and what the world is telling us, there are so many techniques that are out there, and research is showing all kinds of contradictory evidence of, you know, this is the right way to raise children, this is the wrong, you know, and it's so easy to get so caught up and so anxious as parents, because I believe that parenting is really one of the most shaming tasks in the world. At the end of the day, I mean, we feel like there's eyes always looking at us if we're not raising our kids the right way. Mm-hmm. And for my wife and I, throughout my counseling experience over the past 15 years working with troubled families, juvenile delinquents, and through my doctoral research, I basically started seeing that it really came down that we can study all these techniques that we want, but it's really the posture from which we parent, not the techniques, that matters most in getting the outcomes we're looking for in raising kids who I say live, love, and lead well, who ultimately love God and love others as they become adults.
Exactly. Well, what does this look like, Joshua, in your observation and in your deep study of this? You know, translate that to, you know, the everyday home.
Yeah, let me give you an example of a dad that I was working with. He had a 14-year-old daughter, and when I describe it's the posture from which we parent, not the techniques that matters most, I want to give an idea of this posture that I'm referring to. I was working with a dad. He had a daughter who was 14 years old, and the daughter came home one day from school, and she wanted to go to a Friday night football game, and dad said no, and she proceeded to tell her dad that she hated him. She said, "I hate you, Dad," and she stormed up to her room. Now, if you're a parent of a teenager, I'm sure you've been there.
Yes.
But what we have to understand is that "I hate you," we cannot take that personally. The way I describe this is the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But replace the word "do" with the word "understand." In order to be understood as parents, we must first understand.
Exactly.
Something deeper is going on underneath that 14-year-old girl. The posture of emotional safety is not sticking your finger in her face and saying, "You never speak to me that way again. You go to your room and taking your phone away for a month." Mm-hmm. It's also not dismissing the emotion and going, "You know what? Don't be mad at me. It's just a Friday night football game." Or minimizing that emotion as well. "You know, it's just a Friday night football game. Who cares?" The posture of emotional safety, and when I speak on this, I get down on one knee with my arms open, with my arms stretched out, and saying, "Listen, what is it about that Friday night football game that mattered to you so much?" And basically what the father found was that his daughter had been rejected by a group of friends the entire school year. She would see them posting on Instagram and Facebook, them doing things without her, and this was the first night that they invited her to be a part of something. Now, the posture of emotional safety is not that we're going to ignore the disrespect of "I hate you." The posture of emotional safety is first leading in grace, seeking to understand what's really going on behind our child's heart, and then following up in truth and addressing the disrespect.
Exactly. And the thing that makes that so difficult, Joshua, as you know, is that, you know, with teenagers, it's not just one incident. I mean, there can be a myriad of little battles and issues of disrespect, and then you get into something where it's so confrontive and in your face that finally, you know, you don't want to understand. You want to be dictatorial. And so often, as we found by experience, that's the time when we need to be more understanding, as opposed to worrying about our position and how we should be understood, right? Which is the prayer of St. Francis.
Yeah, and that's very true. There are three ways that I describe this. There's the one, like you're talking about, the authoritarian approach of just going, "I'm the parent, you're going to do as I say." There's also that, which I call the all-truth parent. Then there's what I call the all-grace parent. It's more the permissive parent who just says, "You know what? You're going to do it anyway. Just go do it." Mm-hmm. And then that safe house pathway, that middle of the road, is to really engage our children to seek their understanding. And then invite them into the process of going, "How can we come to a solution here together?" Because that engages our children's brains in a way that teaches them how to problem solve. It also teaches them emotion regulation, and it also teaches them how to have self-control in highly conflictual moments. Because as you know, we all look normal when things are going well. It's not until we hit those stressful moments that we truly see a person's true relationship style come out. That's why those stressful moments are so critical in how we interact with our kids in those stressful moments.
And it's understanding, too, Dr. Straub, that, you know, at different ages, I mean, it's one thing when a child is, you know, between 7 and 10 years old, you can be a more authoritative, you know. "I don't want you to cross the street. Stop. You know, listen to my voice," and that sort of thing. But then there comes that time where they need to learn the next lessons that life have to offer them. And sometimes I think we live life in like 5-year increments. And we need to learn those things that are indigenous to that 5-year period of time. And when that child starts to, you know, is starting to grow and develop their own thinking skills and critical thinking skills, then we have an opportunity to participate in that development if we are, if we do operate in grace as opposed to, you know, using the wrong tool for the wrong job, if I might say so in a mechanical sort of way.
Oh, absolutely. And I use this phrase that if you don't talk to your kids as toddlers, we can't expect them to talk to us as teenagers.
Mm.
You know, it's really that whole, it's pursuing the heart of your child, no matter what. You know, I had a mom come up to me recently, and she has a preteen son, and she said, you know, my son's getting into rap, and it was Christian rap. I mean, he's into rap music. He's wanting to rap. He's wearing these clothes that are just different from who I am. She's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to address this. I just looked at her and I just said, I got one answer for you. Learn rap music. Because the reality is, if we're not pursuing our children's passions, they will find somebody else who will pursue it for them, and they can easily get caught up in the wrong crowd. So the more we pursue our children's passions in their hearts and become students of our children, the more we're going to have their hearts when those difficult times do come, and the more likely they are to turn to us to find the answers to navigate the world that they're living in. So,
well, and as you're finding, you're saying it's so important for us to establish a firm foundation of faith, morality, and values in the home, because that's where it begins. Because the culture right now, as confused as they are, as we talked about early on, Dr. Straub, boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of pressure on the family unit for that moral compass, isn't it?
Oh, it's so true. And our kids are always watching us. It starts with us as the parents. They're constantly seeing how we live our lives, what we say, what we do, and that modeling is absolutely probably the most critical piece of this whole parenting out of a posture of emotional safety.
And we can sabotage our own success just by being hypocritical, can't we?
Oh, absolutely, because our kids don't say as we say, they say as we, or they do as we,
yes.
They don't do as we say, they do as we do.
Dr. Joshua Straub,
spokesperson Adam Pileski of the Pileski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This report is brought to you by Odor Eaters. It's time for America to stop and smell the sneakers.
Yeah!
Kids from all over the country came to raise a stink in New York City for the National Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest. Hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not, the competition tests the true limits of sneaker odor. This year's contest was comprised of 6 contestants, ages 7 to 13. Rachel Herz, veteran judge of smell.
You can really sense the amount of pride that these kids have in being stinky. I only wish my sense of smell didn't have to suffer for it.
All 6 competitors really showed us the funky, but only one sneaker could truly take the title of nation's smelliest. Winner Mason Young Hiss from Berthoud, Colorado, was this year's winner of the Golden Sneaker Award. $2,500, a 2-night stay in New York City, tickets to see Aladdin on Broadway, plenty of Odor Eaters products, and a place in the Odor Eaters Hall of Fumes. For more information, visit odoreaters.com or the Odor Eaters Rotten Sneaker Contest Facebook page.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. you can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Martinez live.
Summertime music, 1968, brings back some good memories and great time for music. Also a tough time in our country, too, as well. You may wonder, here we are in the 21st century and how far, really far from where it was then have we come to now, no doubt. Bill Martinez here with you, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Brian Tracy is with us. Today is the day that his book goes on sale, his latest book, Get Smart, How to Think and Act Like Most Successful and Highest Paid People in Every Field. Brian Tracy, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Bill. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, I've often said that if you want to be successful, look at what successful people do. And it seems that this new book, in terms of getting smart, is like, hey, look, at why do it the hard way? I mean, there's been a lot of people before us that have been very successful, and there are some consistent patterns and ways that they've been able to affect their success.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you don't go off in the woods and try to figure it out by yourself. If you want to be a mechanic, you don't just figure it out by yourself. If you get training, you learn what others have learned before you, which will save you years of hard work. And what we find is that everybody wants to be successful, however you define it. They want to be happy, they want to be healthy, they want to make a good living. Everybody wants to become financially independent, but yet only a small percentage of people achieve it. And the question is, why? Well, the rule is success leaves tracks. If you want to find out how to be successful, follow the tracks of other people, and then do exactly the same things. And today, in the 21st century, it starts with the way you think. Everything comes back to the way you think, because that determines your whole direction in life.
Brian, you've written about this in the past, historically. Some people may say, well, Brian, you know, that was for then. You know, this is a different time. America's tied up in knots. We're overregulated. Our political system is a mess. We don't have borders. You know, people have stolen our jobs. They're overseas. But you've written time and again when people against all odds have been successful because they did something that was consistent and true.
Yes, and in business, it's very simple. Most success is in business or in either starting a business or working for a business. And the essence of business success is to please people, make them happy, is to create new customers and then make those customers so happy that they come back again and again, is create products and services that people want and need and then aggressively market them. So these are the standards in business. And every company that's having problems is a company that's not doing those things I just told you. It's not making enough customers happy. For personal success, however, you need a clear sense of direction. You need clear written goals and plans so you know exactly where you want to go and you've got a good idea of the steps that you need to take. And you can't change the world of politics and economics and who's running for president. You can't change that, but you can change yourself. You can take complete control of your own thinking.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, it does start with the thought process. And if we're going to discipline our thought process, you know, and focused on the thing. I used to have a saying in my office that, you know, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off, you know, off the goal. And it was written by that infamous philosopher known as Anonymous. Was never credited to any one person, but it doesn't mean it's less valuable. I found it to be very valuable because, you know, we need to really hone in and focus on what the objective is, right?
Yes, and that's one of my favorite sayings as well. And again, I keep going back. We talk about 10 different ways of thinking. The first way we think you talk about is long-term thinking. Based on 50 years of research, the number one reason for higher income as you go through life is long-term thinking. Number one reason for wealth is long-term thinking. And the second type of thinking, which is based on Nobel Prize-winning research, is called slow thinking versus fast thinking. Fast thinking is what you do when you drive through traffic. Slow thinking is when you say stop and think, and you look at your situation, and you think about it for a while. And in that moment of thinking is where you develop the clarity to make the best decisions. So if you combine the two, long-term thinking and slow thinking, then you come back to the need for very clear goals and plans for your future. They just finished one of the most exhaustive research studies on business success, covering 22 countries, tens of thousands of business, 150 researchers, a decade of research. They say it's the most important breakthrough in business research in history. And it hasn't even been published yet, only reviews. But they say there's basically three things. Number one, clear goals and objectives for the business or for the individual. Number two is clear measures so that you can measure how well you're doing. And number three is clear deadlines so you have a target to aim at. Those three, they turned out to be more important than the most important of 54 different reasons for success that they studied were those. And it turns out to be true in personal life.
Well, I used to tell people, Brian, that there was a huge business study that was done on successful people, and they found that there was one thing that all successful did consistently. And what it was they wrote down their goals. So I used to tell my staff, I said, look, if you want to be in the top 10%, just do that one thing. Just write your goal down, right? I mean, you know, when you take it to this level in terms of, you know, clear goals and objective and making it clear measurably and, and clear deadlines, I mean, that takes it to it really puts action to those steps and it makes it more definitive and clear.
Yes. You know, we say that your goals should be so clear that you could tell them to a 6-year-old child, and the 6-year-old child could understand, and they should be so measurable that the 6-year-old child could tell you how close you are. Mm-hmm. And when you use that simple test, you find that most people don't have any goals at all; they just have wishes.
Exactly. Well, Brian, in your book, Get Smart: How to Think and Act Like Most Successful and Highest Paid People in Every Field, you address that comfort zone of easy thinking. It's real easy to get bogged down and be comparative and just kind of get lax about our goals. But when we do that, we just expend resource and we lose time in being able to, fulfill that objective that we said we wanted to in day one.
Yeah, it's called lazy thinking as opposed to rigorous thinking. You know, one of the things which I teach over and over is to ask questions. And a very good question is not what happened, but why is this happening? Why is this happening? It's interesting today, one of the major political issues is that the rich aren't paying their fair share and tax the rich, and we can have everything we want if we just tax the rich. Well, first of all, nobody can evade paying taxes unless they have massive losses. So I know lots of rich people, and they all pay, 48-50% in tax. All wealthy people pay tax unless they have investments or sources of income that the government has decided are taxed at a lower rate. So this idea of tax the rich is nonsense. If you taxed all the money away from all the rich people in America, you could run the federal government for about 26 days, and the country would be bankrupt, and there'd be unemployment by the millions. Then the next question you ask is, what do rich people do with their money? Well, people think that they're like Scrooge McDuck. They have those swimming pools full of money, and they just go and get a bucket full when they need it.
Right.
People invest their money in creating jobs.
And the reason that they're rich is because they're very skilled at using their money to create more jobs so they can satisfy more customers. So you get rid of the rich people and the country just collapses. So in every single successful country, you have wealthy people who've usually started off with nothing, but demonstrated that they're really quite capable of deploying these funds to create products and services that people want and create jobs and build factories. So you take them away, you must be out of your mind.
Exactly. It's called leveraging, Brian. I mean, you know, and this is the difference between people that are highly successful is they're leveraging their resources. It's no longer their 40 hours a week. They have found a way to incrementally add 40 hours of labor force output by investing in other people and in other businesses, right?
Yes, and the only way that they can hire these people is by offering them wages and benefits that are better than anybody else can offer. And so you say, well, we punish the rich. Well, no, I came across this observation. It said that 1% of people have the ability to create jobs, and 99% of people have the ability to work at jobs that have been created. So the 1% are a national treasure. They should be cultured like orchids. They should be identified early in life. They should be trained and supported and guided. That regulatory barriers should be taken out of their way. This 1% is the national treasure that creates all national wealth. It pays
exactly.
for all the hospitals and all the schools and all the charities. Is this 1% who can come up with an idea and create jobs, like a Steve Jobs or Microsoft. You look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates employs directly 120,000 people and indirectly probably hundreds of thousands of others.
Is exactly.
he wealthy? Yes. But if you look at how much he earns, he earns a fraction of a percent of the wealth that he creates in the lives of other people.
And look what he's doing now, he and his wife, in terms of, you know, leading a group of people in terms of investing into other countries and the charities that they're involved in because of the wealth that they've created, right?
Exactly. And so therefore, we talk about comfort zone. It's basically lazy thinking. People just, you know, hear a fact and they just say, well, that sounds good. They don't take any time to think about it. So in my book, I just continually take these ideas and have people think about them. Ask them questions. What do you really want to achieve in life? I've got this little wonderful question. Is what do you really want to achieve in life? What do you really, really want? What do you really, really, really want? Mm. And it's the third really that tells you what you really want in life.
Exactly.
And then you say, oh, I want to be this, that, or the other. Then here's a very simple thinking tool. Just do not do anything that's inconsistent with what you really want. Stop
what you really, really
it.
Want. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Tracy, congratulations on the book, Get Smart, How to Think, Act, and Like most successful and highest paid people in every field. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and available at all the usual places.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.